Today we're taking a pad instrument rack in Ableton Live 12 and flipping it into an old-school rave pressure tool that actually works in modern drum and bass. And right away, the big mindset shift is this. We are not trying to make a beautiful, endless, floating chord wash. We want tension. We want lift. We want something that can help an intro feel intentional, make a breakdown hit harder, and give a pre-drop section that classic rave-style urgency without getting in the way of the drums and bass. In DNB, pads are not just background. They can glue breakbeats together, make a sparse intro feel cinematic, create that euphoric contrast before a nasty drop, or add menace in darker tunes without overcrowding the mix. But for this to work, the pad has to be tight, rhythmic, and arranged with purpose. So let's build it step by step. First, start with a simple pad sound. Load up something like Waveatable, Analog, or Operator. If you already have a pad preset that you like, use that. The important thing is that it starts sustained, dark, and harmonically simple. Write a progression that feels right for drum and bass. Keep it minor. Keep it spare. One chord per bar can beat enough. Sometimes even one chord every two bars is better. You could try D minor to F major, a minor to G major, or just a single minor chord with a little upper harmony movement. The point is not to show off harmony. The point is to give the groove room to breathe. And that's a really important DNB lesson. The drums are already moving fast, so the pad should support the energy, not compete with it. A simple harmony gives your break and bass line space to do their job. Now shape the sound so it sits like a usable tool instead of a huge pretty synth cloud. After the instrument, add EQ8, saturator, and auto filter. If you want, you can keep it all inside an instrument rack later, but for now, keep the chain simple and clear. Start by high passing the pad around 120 to 180 Hz. If the bass line is busy, you may even go higher. That low end belongs to the kick and sub. Then add a little saturation, maybe 2 to 5 dB of drive, just enough to bring some body and edge into it. Turn on soft clip if the transients get pokey. After that, use auto filter to trim any glossy top end fizz. A low pass around 6 to 10 kHz is often a good starting point. If the pad already sounds huge, great. But don't let that trick you into leaving it too wide or too shiny. For dark DNB, a pad that feels slightly muted, dusty, and a little unstable is often way more useful than one that sounds polished and expensive. Now we need to make it move rhythmically. This is where the sustain gets flipped into something more like a rave tool. Add auto pan or gate, or shape the synth envelope itself so it no longer just hangs there forever. If you use auto pan, try an amount around 40 to 70%, and set the phase to 0 if you want volume tremolo rather than stereo movement. Sync the rate to something like 1/8, 1/18, or 1/16 depending on how busy you want it to feel. If you want a tighter chop, use a gate with a short release or shape the amp envelope on the synth. Fast attack, moderate decay, lower sustain than a normal pad, and a release somewhere around 100 to 400 milliseconds. The idea is that the pad now feels played in phrases, not just held forever. That's huge for DJ tool thinking, because a gated pad gives movement without stealing attention. It can sit under a blend, a transition, or a long intro and still feel alive. Now we bring in the classic rave move, filter automation. This is where the pad starts to earn the old-school pressure label. Use auto filter and automate it across 4, 8, or 16 bars. A low-pass filter is the obvious starting point. Put some resonance on it, maybe around 10 to 25%. And don't be afraid to add a little drive if it helps the motion. For example, you could start the intro with the cutoff low and dark, then slowly open it through the phrase, and then at the last bar before the drop, hit it with a more dramatic opening and cut. That contrast is what creates tension. If you want something even more ravey, try bandpass filtering. That can give you a focused, stabby, foggy kind of character that sits right in that old-school lane, especially if the pad has a lot of bright top-end information to begin with. And here is a coaching note that matters a lot. Automate like you're phrasing musically, not randomly. Don't just draw wiggles because movement looks cool. Think in 2-bar teases, 4-bar rises, 8-bar opens, hard cuts. The listener should feel a plan. Now let's make this actually useful in an arrangement by resampling it. This is where the lesson gets powerful. Create a new audio track and set it to resampling, or route the pad track into that audio track. Record 8 or 16 bars of the moving pad. Once you've got the recording, consolidate the best section and either drop it into simpler in slice mode or just keep it as audio and chop it manually in arrangement view. If you use simpler, slice by transients if the movement is obvious, or slice by 1/4 or 1/8 if the motion is more even. Then re-trigger those slices in a more percussive way. Put hits on the offbeats. Leave gaps. Make call and response phrases. Let the drums and bass stay dominant while the pad becomes a transition device. This is a classic DJ tool workflow because it turns a long atmospheric bed into something playable. And in drum and bass, that commitment matters. You stop endlessly tweaking the pad and start using it like part of the arrangement. Now we rough it up a bit. Use saturator, redux, drum boss, or erosion to add texture and grit. Don't destroy it. Just make it feel older, rougher, and more urgent. A little saturation goes a long way. Redux can add a subtle crack digital feel if you keep it restrained. Erosion can add some metallic air and grime. Drum boss can help, but keep the boom under control on pads unless you really know what you want. The goal is texture, not chaos. A little roughness helps the pad sit with chopped breaks and distorted bass. If the top end gets too sharp, clean it back up with EQ8 after the distortion stage. In DNB, clarity still wins. Now think about where this pad actually lives in the track. A strong arrangement could look like this. Filtered pad in the intro for 8 or 16 bars, then break edits and light bass hints come in. Then the pre-drop opens the filter and maybe adds a reverse swell. Then the drop hits with the pad reduced or muted so the drums and bass can slam, and then later in the track the chopped resampled version comes back as a call and response motif. That's the Riedel DJ tool mentality. Every section should serve the mix and the energy. Intro is blendable. Build is rising. Drop is edited or removed. Transition is useful. And this is where a lot of people go wrong. They let the pad keep playing when it should get out of the way. In DNB, absence can be as powerful as layering. Sometimes the best thing a pad can do is appear, create anticipation, and vanish on impact. Also, keep an eye on stereo width and low-end separation. Pads love to go wide, but the kick, snare, and bass need the center. Use utility to check mono and narrow the width if needed. Keep anything below about 150 Hz clean or absent. If the pad is masking the break or bass, carve a bit around 200 to 500 Hz or a harsh zone around 2 to 4K Hz if needed. A good habit here is to check the pad against drums first, not in solo. Solo can lie to you. A pad that sounds massive by itself can flatten the groove completely when the break and bass come in. A few extra pro moves can take this further. One is sidechaining the pad lightly to the kick and snare using compressor or glue compressor. Keep it subtle. We want the drums to breathe through, not for the pad to pump like a pop mix. Another is layering a bit of noise under the pad. A filtered operator noise layer, automated with the pad, can add menace and air without cluttering the harmony. You can also make a reverse swell by resampling a pad hit, reversing it, and lining it up into a snare or drop impact. That's a very effective old-school style transition move. And if you want even more control, make two versions. One dark, narrow, and murky for the intro, and one brighter and more open for the pre-drop. Automate between them so the section evolves without needing a brand new sound every time. Here's a quick practice challenge. Take 15 minutes and do this. Load a simple pad in wavy-eatable or analog, write a 2-bar minor progression or hold one dark chord, add EQ8, saturator, and auto-filter, high-pass the pad, add gentle saturation, automate the filter cutoff across 8 bars, resample the result into audio, chop it into 4 to 8 slices, and rearrange it into a 4-bar intro that feels like a DJ tool transition. Then mute the pad at the drop point and listen to how much harder the drums feel when it gets out of the way. That's the whole point. The key takeaway is simple. Don't leave your pad as a pad. In drum and bass, a great rave pressure pad is dark, rhythmic, filtered, resampled, and arranged with intention. It supports the groove, creates tension, and helps the track move like it means something. So use Ableton stock devices to shape the tone. Add weight, create movement, commit to audio and keep the mix clean. When you do that, the pad stops being background fluff and becomes a real arrangement weapon. That's how you flip a pad into old-school rave pressure for modern DNB.